Amen. Well, it's good to be here tonight. And I was thinking about that, finding that M&M in the beard thing, and that happens to Natalie all the time with, I'm just kidding. And if I want her to know that, I'll tell her myself. So just mercy. I thought that joke would go a lot better than that, but it didn't. So, amen. Well, praise the Lord. Well, I was thinking about the gospel and this thing of the gospel and what you were talking about Brother Boonstra, and to me, the simplest form of the gospel is 1 Corinthians 15. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and His faith in that. I want to tell you something. A little over 20 years ago is when I got saved, and I'm so thankful that my father-in-law, wasn't my father-in-law at the time, but he knew where to go to show me the gospel and how to be saved, and I just praise the Lord for that. So tonight, what we're going to do to start out the conference is something that the Lord just impressed upon me. I had a whole different message planned and was praying about tonight and last night. And as I begin to pray, the Lord just impressed upon me this thought and this message for tonight. And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to preach the gospel to start out. Because here's what I found out. It's real hard to tell somebody how to be saved if you don't even know you're saved yourself. And so we're going to start out that way tonight. So let's all stand in honor of God's Word, if you're able to stand. And take your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew tonight in chapter number 13. The Gospel of Matthew in chapter number 13. Probably dangerous making a joke about my wife. She's pregnant. She could kill me in the middle of the night. She's pretty emotional like that. Amen. She's pretty funny about that. Matthew chapter 13 tonight. Look with me, if you would, at verse number 24. The Bible says, another parable put he, Jesus, forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say unto the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. What I've found in studying parables is sometimes it's difficult to understand what the Lord means by those things. But every now and then you come across a parable where He gives you the meaning of the parable. And such is what you and I will find here. Look down at verse number 36. It says, then Jesus sent the multitude away, and when He went and went into the house, and His disciples came unto Him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And He answered and said unto them, and now here's the meaning of it, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. Now that's Jesus, friend. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. I'm just telling you tonight, it is very serious that you make sure you are a wheat. You need to know that. You need to know that. No doubt about it. The Son of Man shall send forth His angels in verse 41, and they shall gather out of His kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, that there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear? Oh, friend, let them hear. Let them hear. So here's what this parable means tonight. And let me just give you this, and then we'll pray and you can be seated. You know what it shows us? It shows us this, that though things can appear to be the same, they can be entirely different. I mean, you think about, listen, wheat and tares look alike, but they are not the same. They come from different seed. One bears fruit and one doesn't. And listen to me, and when the end is all said and done, one's going to go into the barn and one's going to be burnt. And listen to me tonight, sometimes so too can the lost and the saved. They can appear to be the same, but they are not the same. They come from two different seeds. Come on, friend, they bear two different fruits. And in the end, friend, there's going to be two different places to spend eternity. And I'm not here tonight to make you try to doubt your salvation, but the Bible does say this, examine yourselves and see whether you be in the faith. And so tonight we're going to look at this subject of the wheat and the tares. And here's the question I'd ask you tonight, and that's this, are you a wheat or are you a tare? Father, thank you for, Lord, thank you for this meeting. Thank you, Lord, for this group that's here tonight, these churches that are represented. Thank you for Brother Gamble and his class and Pastor Abel's and Berean Baptist Church and all of the labor that goes on behind the scene. But Lord, it's all put together, Lord, for these moments right here when your word is opened and we desire for you to speak. And so God, as the song has been said tonight, Lord, in your love and in your faithfulness and in your goodness and in your mercy, God, would you speak to us tonight? Empty me, Lord, of myself and fill me with the Holy Spirit. And God, use me as your vessel tonight. And I sure pray tonight, Lord, I don't know the hearts of the people here, but you do. And oh dear God, maybe there's some that came into this place tonight thinking it was going to be all about how to articulate the gospel. And God, you've been dealing with them about their salvation and their need to be born again. And they thought they were going to get into this meeting tonight and escape that subject altogether. And yet we find it being confronted once again. But oh God, that they might come tonight and get saved and get it nailed down and get it right and know that they are saved. Oh, dear God, would you speak to us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Sure appreciate you standing in honor of God's Word. When I was a youth director here at Berean Baptist Church, we would have a fun time in our class. And I say fun, I had fun because I'd just get in there and preach, man. It was kind of like they were the guinea pigs for whenever I'd be the pastor one day of the church that I'm at. And so I'd just get in there and we'd just have a big time and I'd shout and holler and be excited about the things. I think we ought to be excited about the things of God. Amen. And man, we would just have a big time in there. And in fact, I remember sometimes we'd come out of the class and the classroom next door would go, "Well, we enjoyed your message today, Brother West," because they heard it through the wall. And so we would have a good time. And then every year they would have what's called Promotion Sunday. And what that means is that some of the classes would get, you know, below us. They would have students that would get beyond a certain age and they would move up into the next class. And so, and it was pretty funny because Brother Ben Forrester, I think, was our junior church teacher at the time, and he's a lot calmer than I am. And so when they would come up in our class, man, it was a whole different world. And one year we had twin boys come up, and it's Luke and Levi Harris. And so, Levi, right? See, this is messed up because I used to could tell them apart. Now I can't even tell them apart. So, Levi, stand up. And where's Luke at? And Luke, right there. These two guys, and this is what their brother David did. He brought them in and stuck them right on the front row. And so their eyes got about that big around. But I'm telling you, when I first came in, I already struggled with names and things, and so I'm trying to figure out which one is which and trying to get their names down. And you know what I found out? I mean, they look just alike, but the more that I started examining them, I figured out there's a little bit of difference here and there. In fact, when they were in our classroom, Levi, I really could tell, he was a little more chunkier back then, so I could really tell. Not to embarrass you guys, sorry. But I do know this, you guys both play different instruments, don't you? Kind of, yeah. And two of you, one of you wants to be one thing, and one of you is going like wants to be a doctor. And who wants to be the doctor? You, and you want to be something else. So here's what I found out. You guys can be seated. Sorry, I just want to embarrass you. So there were some differences, but the biggest difference was this: when they were in my class and I was their youth director, Levi was lost, and Luke was saved. Now, praise God, both of them got saved. But can I say to you tonight that they're really just a great illustration of what this parable's talking about? You know what it's saying? It's saying that things can appear to be the same, but they can be entirely different when you examine them. If you notice, look at verse number 26 there and what takes place in this parable here. Look at what it says. It says, "But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares and also there." So you understand here that in our parable you have two things that are planted in the same field. You have wheat and you have tares. And this tares right here is called bearded darnel. And it was a very common weed that would grow in the Palestine region, especially among the wheat. And in fact, it even looks like wheat in its earlier stages. And right here, if you notice that the workers would go out and they didn't even notice that the tares were coming up until it got to a certain stage and the weed started showing itself and bearing fruit and the tares were not bearing fruit. And they begin to see that difference here. And so you understand that in the end they were found to be useless weeds, and they would be harvested together with the wheat, and they would be separated and the tares would be burnt in the fire. And I thought about tonight and what a great application it is for you and me, because I think you and I tonight get where we're going with this, that there are folks in our churches today who look like us, friend, who act like us, who dress like us, who talk like us, but they are not of us. They have not been truly born again of the Spirit of God. And I'll give you a great example. In fact, look at our scene tonight. We pointed out in verse 36 there, it says, "Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares in the of the field." And so you understand what happens in the beginning of Matthew 13 is that Jesus sees the multitude gathered on the shore, and he goes out into the boat and begins to preach parable after parable after parable. Well, by the time we get to verse 36, he sends the multitude of the way, and the disciples come in, and the first thing they want to know is, tell us what this parable of the tares and the wheat means. And listen to me tonight, there was a tare right there. Is anybody getting this tonight? Judas Iscariot was sitting right there, friend. And listen to me tonight. He did everything the disciples did. He went where they went. He preached what they preached. Listen, he lived the way that they lived. But I'm telling you, friend, he was a tear among the wheat. Well, how do you know that? Well, look at the fruit of his life. He betrayed the Savior, friend. And I'm just telling you, the point is tonight that churches are full of the same kind of situations today. I've seen many a church member get saved. Come on, friend, church member, you know, sure, they got baptized and they became part of the church, but here's the deal. If you got baptized but you didn't get saved, then all you did was got wet. And I'm just telling you, friend, my wife has a great testimony of that. I remember being here at Berean Baptist Church and training for the ministry, And we were outside at the outdoor revival meeting, and Brother Bill Marshall was preaching the revival meeting that week. And I remember the message was this: the joy of the Lord is witnessing. And we got to the end of the message, and Natalie had been wrestling with her salvation and wrestling with her salvation and wrestling with her salvation. And I mean, it was just this ongoing thing. And she would deal with it and kind of get it straightened out, and then it would come back, and deal with it, and it would kind of get straightened out, and it would come back. And God just wouldn't leave her alone, and she just wouldn't humble herself and get it nailed down. But that night, friend, God began to deal with her. And she looked at me during the invitation and said, "How can I tell anybody how to be saved if I don't know I'm saved myself?" And I told her what any good preacher would tell her. "Well, woman, you know what to do." And son, we went down to the altar, and she sat there and wept, and I wept, and I listened as my wife called on the Lord. And friends, she got it nailed down that night. But I'm just telling you, hey, listen, I've seen many a church member get saved, and hey, listen to me tonight, praise God. That's what it's all about. One of the biggest lies of the devil for people sitting in the pews is this: what is everybody else going to think? What is everybody else going to think? Hey, 2 seconds in hell, who cares what everybody else thinks? And I'm just telling you, friend, I'm just, praise God, people can get it right. And it's a wonderful thing. And I've seen people do that, and they come forward, and they get past that fear, and they want to get it nailed down with God. And they get saved, and they come before the church, and they want to follow the Lord in baptism. And I've never seen anybody walk up and go, "Well, I knew you was faking it." I've never seen anybody do that. You know what I've seen them do? Praise God, glory, hallelujah. You know what they did? They rejoiced with them. So I'm just telling you tonight, friend, if that's where you're at, I don't know where you're at, but I do know this, that God said, you're going to preach this message tonight, so that's what I'm doing. And if this is where you're at tonight, then please listen to me. Quit listening to the devil, quit listening to everybody else, and listen to me. And if God's dealing with you, then get it nailed down tonight. Because you cannot tell anybody the gospel and give them your testimony and your witness and your firsthand account if you don't have one. You got to have one, friend. So let me give you some real simple things here tonight that I saw in this parable. I'm not very deep. Probably a good thing. Especially with this crowd here tonight. So here's number one. Either you have a relationship with God or you don't. Come on, friend, either you're saved or you're lost. Look at what he says in verse 24. It says, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Now look at verse number 37, because again, it tells you what it means here. And it says, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. And so tonight, friend, here's the deal. Either you're a wheat or you are a tare. That's it. Listen, there's no riding the fence on this. There is no gray area. You can't sit here tonight and go, well, Brother Wes, I mean, listen, my situation's a little more complicated than that. No, it's not. Either you are a wheat or you are a tare. You're not a wheat one day and a tare the next. Either you are one or the other. Period. And notice that Jesus makes it clear that there's a distinct difference between him and his seed and those that are wheat and are born of his seed and the sower of the tares. He's the devil, and the tares are of his seed. And so this tells us tonight that either you have come God's way in salvation and you are born of good seed, or you're doing it your way, which is really the devil's way. And it's a corrupt seed. In fact, Peter says it like this in 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. See, listen to me tonight. Either you have done what God said to do in his word in order to be saved, or you've done it some other way. And friend, when you part from this book right here, you're doing exactly what the devil wants you to do. Well, what does God say to do? Well, I'm glad you asked. You know what? Take your Bibles. Probably to many of us, this is familiar verses, but I want you to see what God says. Turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter number 10. Romans chapter 10 and verses 9 and 10. Look at what it says in verse number 9. And again, probably a lot of us know it. I know, man, I quote them all the time when I'm preaching. I love these two verses, and here's why. Because it's so simple to be saved. Listen, it says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, isn't that easy? Come on, friend, that's all it is, that you would, in your heart, turn from your sin and call upon the Lord Jesus. That's easy. That's all you have to do. And so that's the simplicity of it. And I love the next verse. And notice what it says. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Hey, please get this up here. You know what that tells you? That tells you the order and how it works. This doesn't motivate this, friend. But this, when God begins to deal with this, it motivates this. Come on, friend. Hey, listen, there's got to be Holy Ghost conviction involved. How can you be born of the Spirit if there is no Holy Spirit conviction? Come on, friend, I'm telling you, God has to deal with you, and you've got to understand that you're a sinner and on your way to hell, and that Jesus is the only way to be saved, and you understand His death and burial and resurrection, and that He is the Son of God, and that you turn from your sin and call out to Jesus Christ, and He'll save you right where you're at. Well, that's good stuff. It's good stuff. And I love verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm telling you, that was good for guys like me in the life I was living. I got saved at the age of 20, friend, and I'm telling you, God changed my whole life. and the things that I was doing, God forgave me and gave me eternal life. I'm telling you, and it's a wonderful thing to be saved. But listen, I love this because it doesn't matter who you are. And it doesn't matter how much money you got in your bank account. And it doesn't matter what side of the railroad tracks you were born on. And it doesn't matter what you've been doing, friend. God can save you even if you're pretending to be a church member. God can save you tonight. I'm telling you. But see, here's the deal. So God's got His plan of salvation. But you know what I found out is this, is that the devil has his seed too, friend. Come on, he's got a corrupt seed that brings forth a corrupt, imitating fruit that bears, it doesn't, it's counterfeit, it's fake, and that's exactly what Satan is doing today. Here's one that I thought of, the seed of works for salvation. I mean, think about that. Listen, good works is one of the biggest counterfeit seeds, and listen, the devil was casting them in Jesus' day, and he's still casting them in our day. Listen to what Jesus said to the Pharisee crowd in John 8:44. He said, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Did you notice that? Hey, listen, the Pharisee crowd that was trusting in their own works and in their own self-righteousness, and he said, "Ye are of your father the devil." You know what that means? Your tares. Come on, friend. Hey, listen, are we here tonight? People are still doing the same stuff today. You need to get baptized. You need to join the church. Come on, friend, you need to partake of communion so that you can go to heaven. Please listen to me tonight. All those things are good things, but those things don't get you into heaven. Those things don't make you wheat. You do them because you are wheat. And so you understand, friend, that listen, that salvation, it's not of works. Listen, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There has to be a born-again relationship with Jesus Christ. And that takes place, friend, by faith and conviction of the Holy Spirit and repentance of the heart and turning to Him in salvation. But listen, you and I are living in a day where there's false messiahs too. Hey, let me just help you with something tonight. Allah is not the same God as this Bible. He is not Jehovah God. And Muhammad is not some other form or name for Jesus. No, Muhammad's still dead and in the ground. And even Mary, friend, hey, listen, there is only one mediator between God and man, and that's the man Christ Jesus. And whether it be Mary or Joseph Smith or Buddha or whatever name is out there, I'm just telling you, friend, there's only one that rose from the dead and that has eternal life to give anybody. And His name is Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And Jesus saith unto him, I love John 14:6. I am the way and the truth and the life. He didn't say this, I am a way. He is the way. And friend, I'm telling you, if you don't come to Jesus Christ, you can't be saved. But here's another one that I found in our day and time. I found it a lot in our area. It's just easy believism stuff. Uh-oh. Well, now we're going to get in a little trouble here. But you might as well suck it up because it's in the book. And I want you to listen to me. There are no magic words that get you into heaven. I'm telling you. No, friend. That's the stuff that's going on in our day. You go out door knocking and you find out, hey, listen, the guy will sit there and tell you, hey, well, the church down the road, they just came by and I said this little prayer and so I'm all good to go. And listen, and he's still got his shirt off and covered in tattoos and looked like he stuck his face in a tackle box. Come on, friend, there's not been any change. There's not been any Holy Ghost conviction. It's just nothing but convenience. And repeat 1, 2, 3, and the problem is they've just made him a twofold child of the devil. You know what that means? That means this. He thinks he's on his way to heaven, but he's really on his way to hell. All because of what somebody said. Just repeat this. I don't know anybody in their right mind that you could walk up to and go, hey, you want to go to hell? Nobody's going to say that. Well, then repeat this 1, 2, 3 after me. Friend, you're walking on dangerous ground. We better be careful of those things. I'm just telling you, it's crazy in our day and time. And you got to understand something, friend. The gospel is being made convenient for men. And there's no conviction of sin. And there's no Holy Ghost dealing with them. And there's no repentance and no faith in Christ. Hey, listen, the gospel doesn't need to be changed for men. It needs to be preached so it can change men. Even this stuff, well, all you got to do is just believe in God. I was working here in Springfield in a welding shop, and one of those spiritual conversations came up. Those are always fun, aren't they? And the discussion was how to get to heaven. And I remember some guy said this. He said, well, I guess all you got to do is believe in God. Now, let's get something straight here. Terminology-wise, he's right. Come on, that's the message of Christ, is faith. Believe. Read the book of John, friend, the Gospel of John. Believe, 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 believe. It's like 96 times. Come on, that was his message. The problem is, though, that's not what he meant. What he meant was to just accept the fact that there is a God. Is anybody getting this? And accepting fact and putting your faith and trust in for salvation are two different things. Is anybody getting this tonight? So you better understand, friend, I'm just telling you, hey, listen to me. Either you're a wheat or you're a tare. And either you came, and listen, no. And what makes you a wheat is that you came God's way. You did exactly what that book said. Hey, I'm so thankful that even in times where I may not feel like a wheat, I can always go back to that book and go, yep, I done it that way. Praise God, I'm still a wheat. But I'm just telling you, friend, if you've done anything outside of what that book said, friend, I'm just telling you tonight, you are a tare. You listen, there has to have been Holy Spirit conviction. There has to have been repentance and turning from your sin and putting your faith and trust in Christ. I'm telling you tonight, you had to have meant business with God and God meant business with you. So either you're a wheat or you're a tare. You know what? Here's something else. Let me just throw this out at you. Either you have fruit or you don't. Come on, friend, look at verse 26. It says, but when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. And so you understand that there's a difference in the sowers and a difference in the seed. But listen tonight, there's a difference in the product. One bore fruit, and that was the wheat, and one didn't. And that was the key distinction. That's what made the workers realize, hey, something's going on here. There's two different things growing in our field. And went back and told the master. And again, friend, I'm just telling you tonight, hey, there are a lot of folks in our churches tonight that are doing that very same thing. Come on, they claim to be saved, but yet when you begin to look at their life, and this is the thing that bothers me as a pastor, you begin to look at their life, and here's what you see. You see no spiritual fruit at all. And friend, that scares me. And it kind of makes you wonder, friend, if there's tares among the wheat. Let me give you some fruit that you and I ought to have tonight. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Probably everybody knows here where we're going with this, but you need to see this. And number one is this. You ought to have the fruit of the Spirit. Come on, friend. I'm telling you, if you got really born again. He was there. He converted you. Come on, he indwelt you. Galatians 5. Some of you are suffering from bus lag or something, man. Yeah. You got a tough crowd coming up, Bubba. Galatians chapter 5. Look at this in verse 19. I want you to see this. It says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But listen to this. But the fruit of the Spirit is this: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now listen again, these are two clear, distinct things, aren't they? Come on, friend, you got the fruit of the flesh, and you got the fruit of the Spirit. In fact, you and I know this, that the Spirit bears witness that we are the children of God, doesn't He? Well, let me ask you something tonight. You claim to be a wheat.
Do you express love? Come on, do you have joy? Joy? No, I'm not talking about happiness. Not happiness that's based on happenings. I'm talking about the joy of the Lord. Come on, do you have these things in your life? Long-suffering? Temperance? Is anybody getting this? No, because here's the thing, friend. Because I've seen a lot of people who claim to be weed, and they'll sure bear out envy and wrath and strife and hatred. Come on. But how little you see them bear out joy and peace and love and temperance. Come on, man. Hey, listen. You got two things that might appear to be the same, but they're really different. I'm telling you, you got weed over here and you got tares over here. And you got fruit of the Spirit over here. And listen to this. You got fruit of the flesh over here. I mean, they're polar opposites. So you got any of this fruit in your life? What about, let me give you another one. What about the fruit of holiness? Come on, in Romans chapter 6 and verses 21 and 22, it says this: "What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life." You know what the Apostle Paul is talking about? Sanctification and being set apart unto Christ. And we know this: carnality leads unto death, but holiness leads into abundant life. And so I'm just asking you tonight, is there the fruit of holiness in your life? I mean, after all, if you are saved and you are wheat, then you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And He should be leading you into things that are holy. No, I'm tired of this crowd today that's living like the devil and claims to be saved. Come on, that's a bunch of baloney, friend. You got the Holy Ghost, the love of God shed abroad in your heart through the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, friend, there ought to be some conviction going on from time to time. There ought to be Him, listen, dealing with you and saying, there's some things in your life you don't need there. And when you put something in there that has no business being there, He's hammering away and saying, you know this is not right. I'm telling you, friend, that stuff should be going on. He is holy. It scares me today, this stuff that's going on, and people claim to be saved and living like the devil. That's not the gospel. But what about this? What about fruit unto souls? And certainly that's what this conference is about. In John 15:18, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples." Well, what about the fruit of the lost? Are you burdened for people to be saved around you? Have you been witnessing to them? Have you been giving them a testimony? Come on, friend, that's a first-hand account of what happened to you. When's the last time you shared what God done in your life? Amen. And maybe the reason you haven't is because He hasn't done anything yet. Because you've been fighting Him and rejecting Him, and He's been dealing with you and drawing you in your need to be saved. You know, I thought about this tonight. What about the love of the brethren? Boy, that's a good one, isn't it? Come on, turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. You know, something that bothers me too is the crowd that says they got saved or they're saved and then they don't want anything to do with church. As if God just said, well, listen, you don't have anything to do, so here's church. Last time I checked, the Bible says Jesus died for the church. Come on, friend, I'm telling you, what do you think most all of the New Testament was written to churches. Come on, friend, I'm just telling you, church is important to God. It ought to be to us. And notice what it says in 1 John 3:14. He says, "We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death." Please listen to me. Hey, no, friend. You want to know if you're a wheat or not? Then if you're a wheat, then you ought to love the other wheat. Come on, friend. I'm just telling you. Hey, no. If you got saved, you ought to follow the Lord in baptism. And following the Lord in baptism makes you a member of one of the Lord's churches. And you ought to get in that church and you ought to love those folks and love your pastor and love the preaching of God's Word and love the things of God and the people of God. I'm just telling you, friend, that that's fruit. And even right there, John said, hey, you know that you're not a tare, but you're a wheat. And here's why, because you love the other wheat. That's good stuff. All right, evidently you don't think it's that good, but I do. You know, just about every tree's got some common things about it. I mean, it's got roots, and it's got a trunk, and it's got branches, and it's got leaves. But you know how you tell the difference? Fruit. An orange tree will always make oranges. Apple trees will always make apples. And wheat will always bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit and desire the fruit of holiness and be burdened for the lost to be saved and have a love for the brethren. How's your fruit tonight? Are you a wheat? Or are you a tare? It's just between you and the Lord. Come on. I'm just telling you. You can get it nailed down tonight. And you need to, because here's why. Either you'll spend eternity in heaven or you'll spend eternity in hell. Verse number 30, it says, "Let both grow together until the harvest. And I will say in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, and gather the wheat into my barns." And of course, we know in verse 39, he says that the enemy sowed them as the devil, and the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. "As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity," that's those that rejected being wheat, "and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." Hey, listen to me tonight. Figuring out whether you're a wheat or tare is no joke. And the reason is because where are you going to end up? Friend, I'm telling you tonight, either you're dying and you're on your way to heaven, or you're dying tonight and you're on your way to hell. It's one or the other. Yes, there's no in-betweens. And this is serious business tonight. And don't let the devil sit there tonight and say, "Well, listen, what is everybody going to think? What is everybody going to think? What is everybody going to think? Who cares?" You need to be worried about what God thinks tonight, friend. And if He's dealing with you and showing you that you are a tare and not a wheat, then you need to get it settled tonight. And this is the thing that I want you to notice. Look at verse number 30 again. It says, when the workers come and they say, hey, they find out that there's tares among the wheat. They go to the master and they say, "Hey, you want us to go out and pull the weeds out?" And in verse 29, he said, "Nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. But let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say unto the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, and gather the wheat into my barn." Listen, when he says that, when he says, "No, don't do it just yet," you know what that shows me right there? That shows me the long-suffering of the Master. Because maybe there's something we need to make clear tonight, and that's this. If you are a tare tonight, you can become a wheat. And the Master not pulling up the tares just yet, I'm telling you, it's the long-suffering of God, that He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I'm just telling you, friend, I'm just, I've seen a lot of folks get saved that were pretending to be saved. And glory, hallelujah, they got gloriously washed in the blood of the Lamb. And if that's you tonight, friend, I'm just telling you, you can be saved. You know, Baptists are like creatures of habit. I mean, we got like our pew. If someone comes and visits and sits in your pew, it's not really your pew. Just trying to help you with that. I came in tonight and I came over here, and this is the side we always sat on, so I just sat over here. That, and plus Brother Hetzer smells kind of funny, and I'm just kidding. Just teasing him. These people don't take very good jokes, man. So I came in and I sat on this side right here. This is where we sat when we went to Berean. And I remember one night, and it was on a Wednesday night, and my pastor was preaching on this same parable. And I was sitting here in the pew, and the invitation was given, And every head, you know, let's all stand, every head bowed and every eye closed. And so, listen, that's Baptist Rule 101. When the preacher says every head bowed and every eye closed, you bow your head and close your eye. And all of a sudden, I felt somebody just walk by me that, I mean, it was unfamiliar. And I thought, man, that's different. It sounds like somebody different going to the altar. And so I peeked. And I looked up and I saw a dear sweet lady that was on the altar that's always here every Wednesday night and every service and brought her dad here and was just as sweet as she could be. And to walk up to her, you'd have never thought she was lost. And she's sitting there on the altar, and the next thing you know, I see my pastor going down and talking with her and calling over his wife and her, Miss Robin, coming down and dealing with this lady and them going back in the back and then coming out. And I remember that night she gave a testimony and she said this, "I came in as a tear, but I'm leaving a week."
Amen.
I was preaching youth camp this past week and saw 13 people get saved in one night.
Amen.
It was awesome. Three of those guys, listen to this, three of those guys that got saved were adult men that were there with their wives.
Amen.
Working with the young people. They were tares among the wheat, and they got saved.
Amen.
One of the guys that got saved, he had to turn around and deal with his son who was under conviction, and he got saved.
Awesome.
I'm just like, mercy. But all those guys were members of their church and were tares among the wheat. And I'm just giving you all these testimonies to say this. If that's where you're at tonight, stop buying into all the lies the devil's telling you. Because you're, listen, there are people that have been where you're at. And the biggest thing you need to deal with tonight is your salvation.
That's right.
And make sure that you are a wheat.
Amen.
Are you a wheat tonight? Or are you a tare? Let's all stand. Either you're saved or you're lost. Either you have fruit or you don't have fruit. Either you're going to spend eternity in heaven tonight or you're going to spend eternity in hell. Where are you at tonight, friend? Are you a wheat or are you a tare? Father, thank you for the message tonight. And Lord, thank you for the truth of the parables. And Lord, just how simple, Lord, they can be, but yet how convicting they can be. And I sure pray tonight. I know in this crowd, Lord, in this generation, Lord, there's oftentimes, Lord, folks struggling with these things. And, oh, dear God, it sure is my heart tonight to see them get it nailed down and get it right with you. So, Lord, if you be so gracious tonight, Lord, to meet the needs of hearts as, Lord, certainly only you can. And I sure pray tonight you'd give, Lord, courage and strength and grace to those, Lord, that might be lost tonight and need to get it nailed down. How would you do a work among us tonight? And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have a time of invitation, friend. If you need to come tonight, why don't you come? Are you a wheat tonight? Are you a wheat? God's dealing with you. Why don't you come? Why don't you get it nailed down? What about it tonight? What about it tonight?
Just as I